Amen. If you have your Bibles today, turn to John chapter 14. Richard, in his prayer, asked for God's comfort. And God told the prophet, comfort ye my people. And I want to bring a message along that line today. Sometimes we have physical comforts, but certainly we need spiritual comforts, emotional comforts. And those are the things that God offers us. And we receive them if we believe. Amen. Sometimes we don't receive because we don't come in faith. But we'll see what God has to say to us in John chapter 14. Great chapter. But we'll pick it up in verse 16. I'm sorry. John chapter 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. When Jesus was going to be crucified, go back to the Father. He said, I will give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. It's interesting. They crucified the Lord because they knew not that he was the Savior. They just did not believe. In our lives, we have friends, family, fellow workers, neighbors that just are not believers. And you can't make somebody believe. That's a work of God in their heart. But it says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And what a promise that is. We have the Holy Spirit today. And one day our Lord's coming back, and we're going to be with him forever. But today we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace, there is love, there is joy. Thank you for the comfort that he brings. Thank you that he's called the Comforter. And I pray, Lord, that you would comfort your people today, not only here in this church, but, Lord, in all of the warfare, all of the trial, all of the tribulation that our brethren are going through and in another country. Lord, bless us today. Answer our prayers, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. The desire for comfort comes when you're uncomfortable. The desire for food when you're hungry. Amen. It's kind of like a little bell goes off. Time to eat. Sometimes the bell is broken and you just eat all the time, right?
Amen.
Sometimes when we're tired, we're wanting to go to sleep. Sometimes we even want to go to sleep in church, you know, because we're tired. But there's something that spurs us on and that makes us want to solve something, whether it's a meal, whether it's a nap, whether it's going to sleep, or whether it's comfort. And I want to talk today, and there'll be some physical examples, but I want to talk about that spiritual comfort, because that only comes from the Lord. But he's willing. He wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to have comfort. He wants us to have strength. He said in John 14, 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. What a blessing. There's a wonderful context to that too. In Ecclesiastes 4, 1, the tears of such as were oppressed, for they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. That's a physical situation. But as believers, we have a comforter that can reach our hearts, even though they are being oppressed. You have in John chapter 14, look with me again, and we'll read in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's going to help us recall what God said. We know what God says by reading his word, by listening to the word, listening to teaching, preaching, and the Holy Spirit brings that back to our mind. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's what he says. So God wants to give us his peace, not like the world gives. They say peace, peace, but there is no peace. But God's peace is real, and it's a part of the filling of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace. So all of this, all glory to God, amen. It's a gift from God. The Spirit of God gives that to us. He guides us into all truth in the Scripture, and He comforts us. That's who He's called, the Comforter. I like that. I like to be comforted. I like when I get a boo-boo, my wife comforts me. I got a blister on my pinky one time, and she was so nice to help me out, you know. I don't know if you ever had a blister on your pinky. Anyway, moving right along. We talk about comfort. I love comfort. These are comfortable chairs, amen? The temperature is comfortable. But we've come to church with burdens, with heartaches, with fears, all of these different things. And we've come because we want to hear from God. It's God's way of doing things, right? He ordained preaching and teaching of the Word of God. God gave gifts to the church to accomplish that. And so we're here today because we have needs that brought us to church. We want to worship God, but as we worship God, God is going to do something for us too. Amen? You may have no idea what God's going to do for you today, but He wants to comfort. I know He wants to comfort. Peace in the midst of a storm. My peace I give unto thee. All the Bible illustrations about that. Comfort in the midst of tribulation. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. When we think of the Ukraine today, the pastors, the missionaries, the Christians that are there, God, I'm sure, is working in their hearts, but it is very fearful. Amen? What time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. The fear is always there, and so we trust the Lord. He works inside. He strengthens us. All the Bible illustrations we will see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, verse 3 is, God is the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. How can that be possible? That we may be able to comfort them also which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That is the purpose of receiving God's comfort. That is the purpose of the Spirit of God working in your heart, my heart, so that we can be a blessing to other people. And you see that if you watch the news or hear those believers. You see how they're wanting to encourage their brethren. They're wanting to show them comfort, show them mercy, show them love in a terrible, terrible situation. Abraham was blessed so that he might be a blessing. You read about the people in the Bible that had the mercy of God shown to them, and they were merciful to other people. God wants to comfort us. We'll see what God says about that. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Holy Spirit of God says in John chapter 14 that He's going to bring remembrance of what God said to those people. That's what He did. I was praying before the service, and I always think of this verse, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Okay, Lord, I don't know everything I'm going to say, but I want you to say something through me. Amen. And remember, now I'm a human instrument, so when I quote the Bible, that's the fact. But if it's just me, we got a long way to go. Amen. But God wants to comfort. I want to comfort because that's what He's told me to do. Chapter 5 and verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye do. What a church. He's writing, edify one another, build each other up, comfort one another. And we know what that is. Even as ye do now, keep doing that, because that's what we need as a church. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Somebody can comfort you or criticize you. Somebody can edify you or tear you down. And when we come to the Scriptures, it's wonderful. Amen? And David knew something about this. So when you read the Psalms, you see that truth, how the Lord is my shepherd. Amen? And he goes into that wonderful Psalm, and we've memorized that. We know that by heart, and we've applied that in our lives. But the words of God are very, very comforting. We have in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. There's words again. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. It says that you may know how to answer every man. So we speak the right words. Amen? You ever been around somebody and you got encouraged? That's a blessing. You ever been around somebody and you got discouraged? That's not so much of a blessing. We have 1 Peter 3:15. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Give an answer. Those are words again. Last week we talked about meekness. We talked about humility. Boy, that's a blessing if we have that. We have in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that's the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And I think last week in verse, I think it was verse 4, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. But in verse 3, it says, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. God wants to comfort us. Amen. And so we bring our trials, we bring those things to the Lord, and we cast all our care upon Him. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 19 and verse 2, David was friends with a king of another land, and he had been a blessing to him. They were good friends, but he passed away. And so David, it says, I will show kindness unto Hanan, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. And it says, and David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father. So they're messengers of the king. They're going to comfort this man. So the servants of David came into the land of the children of Ammon to Hanan to comfort him, to speak to him, to show this care from King David. But they didn't believe him. They thought they were spies to spy out the land. And there was a great war that was waged because of it, and many people died simply because they did not believe that he came to comfort them. There's a verse in the Bible that says, the words that were spoken did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. So when we see the comfort of God and we receive that as truth, the Word of God does something in our life. Amen? Just reading, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that doesn't do anything for you. But when you put feet to that prayer, you see the substance of that. Well, I'm going to accept Christ. I'm going to confess my sins, accept Christ. Then you have a home in heaven. You're a new creature. Amen? It's simply by believing the word or the words of God. It's 2 Corinthians 7:6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. So he uses human instruments. Everybody here is a human instrument. You can comfort somebody. Remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We have in Psalm 119 and verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Psalm 85:8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. I spoke with Ken a couple days ago, and you know, we've been praying for him, and he said when he was pastoring, it was real easy to preach on the peace of God. But when you need the peace of God, it's a blessing that it's real. Amen? When you're not in that circumstance, you don't know the reality of that scripture. But he will comfort us in all our tribulation. He will give us a peace that the world knows nothing about. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, again, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. That's the purpose of the church, and not just this church, but all believers everywhere. In Romans 15 and verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. There's a number of stories, and we could just pick some out. My wife is teaching the children on the story of Joseph. That's a great story. And God told Joseph what he was going to do in the future. And so when all of that trouble came into his life and he ends up in prison, he kept the right spirit. When he saw his brothers, he kept the right spirit. And he forgave them, and God just had his way there. Amen? Because he believed God. We read the story of David. And David is a king, fell into sin, but in Psalm 51... he found forgiveness. He found restoration. He found that joy again. That's a blessing. Amen? For anybody who's fallen away from God, A just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. Here's David, and God welcomed him back, amen, and gave him that joy again. The story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. I love that story, amen. Well, wasn't that boy wicked? Didn't he cause shame to his father's name, and he wasted his inheritance? Yeah, but why don't you focus on the coming back, amen? Because that's where the focus is with the Lord. And he came back, and his father made a party. And boy, things were really different. Those are great stories. And here's what it says. Through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we read what was written aforetime. And we say, well, look what God did back there. And look what God did here. And we say, God can do that again. Never give up on God. Never give up on anybody. The story of Peter. Peter, you're going to betray me. You're going to deny me. But I have prayed for you. And after you've suffered a while, I'm going to establish, strengthen, and settle you. He wrote that in one of his epistles. The story of the thief on the cross. You know, you could go on all day. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Think of the words, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I don't know what was going through his mind, but he sure was comforted by that. Amen. You have the story of the publican and the Pharisee. And the publican went home being justified. God wants comfort. So whatever your need is here today, amen? If you need the Lord, if you need to get close to God, if you need to forsake something, confess something, just whatever it is, God wants to comfort us. Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. One of the trips we made to Romania, in the early 90s, it was so tragic. The people didn't have food, the poor people, and most of them were poor. But a lot of the mothers just let their children run the streets. That there were so many abandoned children, so many. And you would see a two-year-old with a bottle all dirty, just wandering around the streets. I mean, it was horrible, horrible. And they would start and have nurseries that they would try and help the children out, but they only had room for so many. But we went into one, and these little babies, you know, you would go into a nursery here, you'd hear crying, you'd hear laughing, you'd hear all of this noise. It was just silent. And you'd look at some of these babies, and there was just this blank look on their faces. And it was because there wasn't anybody to pick them up or hold them or show them love. Maybe there's one person, two people running all of these children trying to take care of them. And I remember the missionary that we had over there, he tried to do a lot of work over there in those places, and they would take some of these babies and spend time with them, and the babies would respond emotionally. Isn't that amazing? And there is that mother's comfort. Some of us did not know that growing up. We didn't have that comfort. I remember one time I had an earache, a real bad earache. And I remember my mother picked me up and rocked me. And I wish she was here today. I'd sit on her lap. Amen. And I don't care if she said, ouch. I would sit on her lap and I would let her rock me. I would kiss her. I would hug her. One day I will. Amen. She's with the Lord. But the Bible compares that. It's such a great, great comfort. But when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. That was my testimony. It may be yours too. And so the Lord does for us what nobody else can do for us. He is no man's debtor. And he will comfort us. There's a commentator that wrote this. Isaiah, because that's where it says, so will I comfort you as a mother does. Isaiah contains some of the most incredible prophecies of any book. It contains knowledge in incredible details about the Messiah and the future reign of Jesus Christ. Isaiah calls out the sin of God's people. God calls and commissions his prophet to declare unto Judah and Israel condemnation, conviction, and ultimately great hope. Isaiah describes how God will punish the people, but he also uses Isaiah to spread the message that a Savior is coming. Chapter 66 is the final chapter, and the words in verse 13 of that chapter point to a promise. And he says, I will comfort you. There's a great day coming. Today, there's wars and rumors of wars. There's pestilence, there's plagues. There are all of these things. All of these things right out of the book of Revelation. You can see them. They're just popping all the time. But God says that's not the end. Amen. The blessed hope. Boy, there's comfort in hope. But when hope is deferred, it makes the heart sick. But one day this is all going to take place. If you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, you'll be depressed if you just stop at so many verses. You'll look at that and say, yeah, that's today. Yeah, that's today. Yeah, but go on. Read the rest of the chapter. Read the rest of the book. And you see how God is working through all of that. And God wants us to be those lights that shine. I talked about that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. And so we see all of that happening. Amen? But lift up your eyes. Look to the hills. From whence cometh thine help? Thine help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So we look up because there is a day coming. There is a promise. And three times in the Psalms, David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Here we are, okay? I'm pretty excited about my future, but I'm burdened about my present. Can you identify with that? I'm in tribulation. I'm in trouble. I have this heartache, that heartache, all of these things. But what do we do about that? Well, we cast all our care upon him, right? We trust him. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. All of the verses, and we look at that blessed hope, because that is the day that's coming. That is the day that's coming. Don't stop serving the Lord now, amen? Genesis chapter 50. Anybody ever wrong you? Maybe. Remember the story of Joseph? His brothers finally come. All of those years, he could have been eaten up with resentment and hatred all of those years. And his brothers come, and this is the verse that is so key in Genesis chapter 50. It's verse 21. Now therefore fear ye not, he says to his brothers. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What did God do for Joseph? God for Joseph gave him a great spirit, an excellent spirit, that he was able to endure all of that trial. You know, the prison, the false accusation, the hatred of his brothers. He was able to endure all of that and keep a right spirit so that one day God could use him to do the same thing for his brothers. And he forgave them. He comforted them. He spake kindly unto them. Man, that's such a blessing. God is looking for us to speak kindly to people. Amen? To comfort people. We have in Isaiah 40 and verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Speak comfortably unto her. All of us here, we've done something wrong. We've sinned. We're sinners, amen? But we're saved sinners or lost sinners. So when we sin, we come back to the Lord. And what God says is your iniquity is pardoned. That's a blessing. Don't keep beating yourself up for something that you've asked for forgiveness for. We have 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 22, and Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Revelation 21:22, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sin, a new heaven and a new earth. 1 Corinthians 15, God shall take the corruptible and make it incorruptible. He'll take the mortal and make it immortality. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I mean, there's so many verses that we can look past the trial. But in the trial, God wants us to be comforted. And he wants us to comfort those that need comforting. That's why we've gone through the trial. What did David say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You have that memorized too. And here David, who needed comfort, read the Psalms. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and he comforts me. And so God used David in his life. That's what God does with us. We comfort one another. We love one another. We pray one for another. We're kind one to another. That's because the kindness of God is in us. We're merciful one to another. Why? Because God's mercy is in us. The love of God is in us. So we love one another. There isn't a perfect person on the earth. There was at one time, and that was Jesus Christ, the only one. Everybody. I mean, there's a lot of people that can treat you wrong. Love your enemy. Amen? Let that love, let that kindness, let that love draw. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Valley of the shadow of death. One man wrote, the one best able to comfort is the one who's been comforted. If you've gone through a valley and God comforted you, you're the one to be around because you know how to comfort somebody. David knew something about being a shepherd. In 1 Samuel 16, I believe it is, Samuel's coming to Jesse's house because Saul has just not done the right things, so he's not going to be king anymore. Samuel's going to anoint a new king. And so he comes, and Eliab is the oldest son of Jesse. And Samuel gets there and says, man, surely this is the Lord's anointed. This is the guy. But God said, no, that's not him. A man looketh on the outward appearance. God looketh on the heart. And so he went through number one, number two, number three, number four. No, that's not the one. Come on, Lord. You know, number four, number five, number six, number seven. No, none of these. And they were all there. And so finally Samuel says to Jesse, do you have any more sons? And he says, yeah, I have one. He's out watching the sheep. He's a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I mean, he had the handle on this. You'll see in a minute where I'm going with this. And he says, call him. And as soon as David showed up, God said, that's the one. That's the one. Remember the very next chapter, 1 Samuel 17? Saul and his army is there, and the Philistines are there with their champion, Goliath. And nobody would go and fight Goliath. Chapter 16, David is anointed. Chapter 17, they're at this battle. And David is at home, and his father says, here, take this cheese and this food and take them. Take them to the army. And so he comes, and he hears this Philistine challenging the armies of Israel. And David says, what's this guy up to? And he says, well, you know, he's an enemy of God, and he's challenging God. And David said, well, is there not a cause? I can do that. And Eliab says, you're so proud. You just want all the spoils. You want to marry. You want the riches that the king will give you if you defeat this giant. And he says, no, I'm going out because he's talking against God. But Eliab said, who have you left those few sheep with? Another evidence of his being a shepherd. And you know the story. He went out and he defeated Goliath, and that was a blessing. Amen? In Psalm 78, verse 70, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and inherit Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. I'm going to say something, and I believe this with all my heart. If you have a heart for the Lord and you're willing to serve the Lord in these capacities that we're talking about, God will bring people into your life. He will bring people across your path, needy people, hurting people, people that are in tribulation, so you can be a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And what does a shepherd do for us? He protects us. He guides us. He leads us. He helps us. Amen? And so here we are. I love God. You love God. But we're to love one another. That's how that love of God is manifested. God's been merciful to me. He's been merciful to you. Anybody else come in the door? We need to be merciful. We need to comfort one another. How do we comfort one another? With the words. It's so important what we speak to each other. Amen? Something I was going to say, and I just can't bring it to mind, so it must not be what the Lord wants me to say. Let's give you an example. Amen? Peggy comes in last week, and she goes to hang up her coat. And when she's hanging up her coat, she breaks that hanger, that beautiful wood hanger. I mean, they're beautiful. They're antiques. And she breaks it right in two. We had to throw it away. There was no way to fix it. And I went up to Peggy and I said, "What do you think you're doing?" Isn't that the right response? Amen? No. I mean, it was funny. We laughed. Amen? Just something little that we can say to comfort one another. That's what we ought to be looking for. People come through that door, and I try to greet everybody. Sometimes I don't, but I'm back there. "Hi, how you doing? How you doing?" So everybody smiles. You could have had an argument with your wife on the way to church, but when you come through the door, everybody smiles, you know. But we don't know what's in somebody's heart. You don't know the trial. Church ought to be such a refuge. Such a place of God's love and God's peace and God's mercy. Amen? That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about comfort one another. Jesus said in Luke 12:32, we're a small church. We just talked to somebody recently whose church was running well over 200 for a long time. They only have 22 people now. We're larger than that. Amen? And you might think, well, this is just a small church. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. The size doesn't matter." Amen? This is who we are. In Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So God is here. Amen? Because we've met together to worship our Savior. Hebrews 13:20. Our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, and the instruction given to Peter in 1 Peter 5:2, feed the flock of God which is among you. We do that with a heart for the sheep. We do that with a heart for the lambs. Bless these children that are in the Sunday school. How we love those children. My wife loves those children. She just loves those children. Loves to teach them. And I wish I was back there. They get to eat stuff, you know. If I was back there, I'd sneak out and get stuff off those tables. Amen? Amen. But in John chapter 6, and I'll kind of close with this, I hope. John chapter 6. Jesus is there, and Peter's there, and some disciples are there, and he was talking about being the bread coming down from heaven. And it was a hard saying, and many people departed from him that day. Many of the disciples left that day. And Jesus looked at Peter, and he said, "Peter, wilt thou go away also?" And Peter said, "To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Thou art the Son of God. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Again, there's the words again. And so here we are in church. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to get that comfort? A lot of times you get it right here. Amen? You can come to church and hear something, God speak. It's just the words. Somebody's nice to you. Somebody's concerned about you. Somebody, "How's it going?" "Oh, fine, thank you." Maybe it isn't fine, thank you. But to be able to feel safe enough to share a burden, share a heartache. Amen? On safe ears, I think that's a blessing. In times like these, what should we say? I love you. That's good. I forgive you. That's restorative, man. That's really good. I appreciate you. Oh, how we appreciate. How we appreciate everybody here. I think we ought to comfort one another because the world is getting crazy. Amen? It might all get peaceful again for a short time. I don't know. But right now, I know there's fears, there's troubles, there's trials, there's tribulations. Even if all this stuff wasn't going on. You know, I mean, nothing to be afraid of. Amen? Nothing to be afraid of. Don't jump out of the window of a skyscraper if the stock market goes down. Amen? Amen. Some of us don't have to worry about that. And if you do, just don't worry about it. But there's so many things we can just get our comfort from the Lord. The trials you're going through, be assured that I'm praying for you. Be assured of that. And pray for me. We'll pray one for another. Amen? Comfort one another. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we love you. Thank you for the comfort only you can give us. I pray, Lord, that you would meet every need here and the needs of, oh, there's so many brethren all around the world. We want to lift them up to you, Lord. Be kind, be merciful to us, and may we show that kindness and mercy to others. Love you, Lord. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.